Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The age of heroes has dawned and the quest for optimal wellness continues. Tonight on Working with Energy, we already learned about working with the aura by Jean-Louise DeBiase. And tonight we're learning about working with Qi and the law of attraction with Michael Delrussi. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you, sir?
Good evening. It's great to be with you.
Same here.
Well, I'm excited tonight because I'd like to share, I think it was a unique time, and bodybuilding number one. And
okay.
As far as the Eastern spiritual practices are concerned, and I'd like to share a very special course I feel is covers almost every area in terms of human development. And we'll share some of that tonight because I think it was a very special time for this course to be introduced to the public. And that's what I would like to do.
That is awesome. Thank you for sending me the course, and I'd be happy to do it at the same time that you are, and let's share our journey on one of our podcasts.
That's wonderful. And it was a bodybuilder by the name of Mike Dayton. He was born October 22nd, 1948, in Oakland, California. He began his weightlifting career when he was 14 under the guidance of Jack Dillinger. I remember Jack Dillinger. He was a fairly popular bodybuilder back in the 50s. And I was surprised to learn that he trained with him. At the age of 18, he won the AAU Mr. Teenage America title. Mike attended Oakland Technical High School, where he won the state wrestling championships in 1964. He later attended Napa Community College and the University of California in Los Angeles. His main areas of study were psychology, the life sciences, and physical education. During that time, Mike became interested in the martial arts, in particular the art of Qi. He studied under Donald Oyama. I remember Oyama. He was a very famous karate instructor, a karate master at that time. He also studied under Y.C. Wang in San Francisco and Lam Chow in Hong Kong. In 1976, Mike was honored with the accomplishment of Master of Qi. That same year, Mike won the AGBB title of Mr. America. For 2 years, Mike worked on compiling this study, taking from his personal experience and that of others. He has consulted clinical psychologists, specialists of psychic phenomena, doctors, and other athletes, martial artists, and bodybuilders. The result of his work is this course, which combines priceless knowledge, which Mike gained over bodybuilding, with the teachings and philosophy of the martial arts. What's so exciting about this, from my perspective, is that, number one, the content of the course is in human development. Not only does it talk about bodybuilding, there's an entire section on nutrition, which we'll get into at a later date, because I'd like to focus mainly on the on Qi and
okay.
The internal force tonight. But he covers, there's a large area of the course is covered of vitamins, minerals, diet, symptoms, and what they may indicate. He really leaves no stone unturned. Mike was involved in a unique calling during this time, in my view. Bodybuilding during the 70s and later in the 80s, it was still considered a fringe sport, if you will. I mean, it was starting to gain some traction, but it still was on the fringe, if you will. But here, he combined not only his knowledge of bodybuilding, but of the martial arts, and then of the study of Qi, and put it all in one package, which I thought was very unique. I don't think anybody else was doing it that, I think, makes this course so so incredible and so interesting. Well, he had an impressive physique, and he performed feats of strength as well, which, again, was rare at that time. And he did it for a national audience. So I think it was really a total dedication on his part to create this course. I have contacted him because I think everyone should obtain a copy if they can. I have not heard back as of yet. As of 2022, there were still some copies available on Amazon, I believe. But I have not been able to locate a source recently. But I have contacted him. I know he did receive my messages. So I'm waiting for some communication back.
Also tried contacting him. I got no answer, but I informed the email, which did not bounce back, so it's an active email at least, and basically told him about the shows that we were going to do and how we were both going to take the course and to see if they wanted to speak, but no one answered.
Yes, I don't know exactly what's going on. No, he did read my the messages, but he has not as yet gotten back to us. Hopefully he will. But there's beautiful black and white photographs in the course and some inspiring quotes from him and his basic experiences in Qi as he was bodybuilding. On the second page of the course, he talks about the origin of Qi. Kung Fu is the oldest form of the martial arts. It originated in China and combines techniques of physical, mental, and spiritual development. It is from Kung Fu that the study of Qi began. Qi in Chinese means the internal strength. It is pronounced Qi, the Japanese form. And for that time and place, I think it was a unique product and a unique study, both inspiring as well in terms of developing the human body. And the energetic body, which I think was still, as far as the United States is concerned, is still in its infancy in terms of overall strength and development are concerned.
It's a remarkable course. I skimmed through it. What the question I had was, how do you want to proceed, chapter by chapter or section by section? Because there's different ways of taking the course.
Well, I think I'd like to proceed with some of the introduction because it gives you a great overview and in terms of what he was trying to convey. So what I would like to do is start with the introduction because I think there's a lot to be gleaned just from that. And what he says here is this course is designed for the total health and development of the individual. If overnight, some of these points he makes are very profound. It is not designed for you to thumb through and choose at random those special points that are of particular interest to you. The lessons and methods which will be presented here are meant to be learned in sequence, just as all other events in your life are experienced. He says, I have attempted to explain the concepts in simple terms. For some of you, there may be too much detail. Please bear with me and take advantage of the opportunity to review. But also be careful not to overlook the simple, because it is only from the simple that the knowledge of the complex can be gained. I think those are very key points. The answer to your questions are here, but you must learn to look at yourself to apply them. Some parts will be of more interest to you than others. Dwell on these sections, but do not forget the other teachings in this course. Be careful to study slowly. To a large extent, you will set your own pace. The course is divided into parts. It is designed to be read one section at a time. Do not learn from this course. You are wasting both my time and your time. There is room on many of the pages for you to make notes and to relate this course back to your personal life. Use the space to help you learn and apply this course to your life. Personalize it. There is a pocket in the binder to place your notes and observations. To learn Qi mind control requires a total commitment on your part and a total health routine. Nothing will happen of its own accord. You can make this course work, but you must make the decision now and reaffirm it each day. Learning is a mutual exchange, and as your teacher, I will do all I can to help you. Please feel free to write me, but remember, you must do the learning. I am only your guide. With that, let's begin. I think what's interesting here is how we emphasize the fact that you have to take your time and train the energetic body just as we do the physical. And that's what I find so exciting about this, and especially at the point in time, to the electrical body, if you will. And I think that was relatively new and exciting, especially not only to the bodybuilding audience, but the general audience at large, if you will. So I think that it's a fascinating effort for him to compile all of this together.
Yeah, it is an interesting compilation. It reminds me of the Charles Atlas course in some ways, in that that was also a very holistic approach to life. And it did address building a stronger body, but it also addressed building character and eating well and having confidence and using positive imaging. So the course in Qi was very similar in that it went beyond its intended focus and focused on the whole person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think he attempted to combine, which I think is the right approach, the scientific, psychological, and theological viewpoint. I think everything we see in this life, in this third-dimensional existence, indicates a common force in design. You know, I heard Muhammad Ali say something that I thought was interesting. You can talk about an ocean, a stream, a river, but at the end of the day, it's all the same thing, water. And the same thing is true with our existence. You know, everything we see in our third-dimensional existence is made of the atomic structure, atoms. But it's what has been recently discovered, within the last, 60 years now, is that the atomic structure can be impacted, if you will, by the observer, which, in putting it very simply, is what quantum physics, basics of quantum physics, and thoughts, our thoughts, can impact the way an atom behaves and looks to who's ever observing it. There's a relativity aspect, if you will, to all of this. And I find it incredibly fascinating. I think that's one of the areas that he was touching upon, that each journey is very individual, but it's discipline is the key, discipline and focus. So I think, and the law of attraction, and can it really impact our lives in whatever direction we wish to take it? You know, I believe that it can, and I think that hopefully in the coming weeks we're going to cover bases from a variety of sources, utilizing the Qi course that we have before us now. But also, there's a volume that I enjoy very much. It's very comprehensive, called Life Force, the Scientific Basis. That was written by somebody by the name of Claude Swanson, PhD, and he makes many key points in terms of, can we really work with our electrical body? Can we really work with our energetic body? And can it make a difference in our lives? And I'm beginning to realize as I continue to study this that it can. And that's what I'd like to move forward to in depth by week to week if we can.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I used to work with energy a lot, and I got really good at manipulating the energy and using it for healing and things like that. But ever since my getting neuropathy, it's been more and more difficult. And I'd gotten to the point where, you know, I didn't think I could work with energy anymore. But in preparation for this journey we're about to take, I started practicing every day. And now, although I'm no longer as adept as I was years ago, before I got the neuropathy, I could still raise energy in the palms of my hands and extend it, you know, pretty far, further each time I practice. So I suspect by the time I finish this journey, I'll have my ability to work with energy back again.
In terms of everyone's life, one time or another, I was thinking of a person, and lo and behold, I either received a letter or a card or a phone call, and this has happened, I would say, in three times within the past month. And, you know, it started me to thinking about the etheric thread, which I believe absolutely exists, you know, the base subtle force that comprises all of us, the energy, by the base subtle energy body that I believe is very real. And it started me thinking there has to be something here, something that needs to be looked at very closely. And that's what renewed my interest in, well, what can we do? Can we direct our thoughts in such a way to impact this field? Can our subjective mind impact our objective mind? And with the discipline and energetic workouts, if you will, because that's what they would be, and can we do it? Can we change the direction of our lives? Can we really manifest? And I know I have. Yes. And I know I've been remiss myself over the years while I've engaged in, now more than ever, a very aggressive prayer work for those around me and those I come into contact with, because I feel that is my calling. Prayer is part of this. I feel when it comes to actually enhancing my own energetic field, I've been remiss in terms of every technique, every area of exploration that I could engage in. I've been remiss, so I'm hoping to change that in the coming months. And I would like to leave no stone unturned here, because I feel it's that important. Studying the various exercises, techniques, what we can share in this area, I think will be extremely beneficial to the audience and to the listeners. And it's something that goes beyond the law of attraction. It's okay to, you know, we know all about the book, The Secret, but that book left a lot of information out in terms of how to apply our thoughts to the field of all possibilities, if you will. And there's other areas too. I like what you said. Did he share any of that with you at length?
He shared what he believed, that the mind controls reality, but he didn't identify where he got it.
Mm-hmm.
So for the longest time, I thought that was just his personal philosophy. But when I got older and I studied more American mind control and American forms of magic, like the Ascensionist movement and the Mormons and all sorts of spiritual practice that have grown up here in America, I came across New Thought, and it became very clear after reading a couple of New Thought books that this is quoting my father word for word, or rather my father was quoting these works word for word. They weren't among his books when he passed, otherwise I would have found them. But at some point in his younger years, when these beliefs were common, I believe that he was exposed to them and claimed them, because he was espousing the principles until the very day of his death, you know, that the mind controls reality and this is an illusion and you can control the illusion with your thoughts and your attitudes and so forth.
Well, from my studies on New Thought, it was basically termed New Thought Christianity. It was founded originally by a gentleman named Quimby from New Hampshire. And he learned all about the power of the mind to heal through hypnosis. And the movement started in the United States around the 19th century. New Thought holds to the belief that infinite intelligence or God is everywhere. Spirit is the totality of real things. Sickness originates in the mind, and right thinking can have a healing effect. We know that this is true. How frequently it happens, none of us can really be sure, but we know it does happen. You can look at the placebo effect as a classic example of that, you know, which can be quite amazing. So we know it can work. It's very real and it can field of all possibilities. And we all have that field. We have it on a personal level, and it's all around us. A writer by the name of Lynn McTaggart, you probably have heard of her.
Yes.
She explored what is known as the zero-point field. And at the point that there's empty space, there really is no empty space. I mean, we are surrounded by particles, if you will, that would seem to have no, we can't see them, we can't feel them, but are very much there. And within that field, again, our thoughts, which are also vibrational, are able to utilize that field to create positive aspects, events, and goals in our lives. What I like about it, too, is prayer or thought transference. All of this, you come to realize, is a very real possibility in fourth-dimensional thinking and studies, if you will. But New Thought was a fascinating field, and of course there was a little bit of conflict within the world of Christianity. But beyond the Christian concept, if you will, I think it captured the interest of many explorers and researchers in metaphysics, and for good reason. I know some of the authors were Emmett Fox, Charles Fillmore.
Yes.
And his wife, I forget his wife's name, but I know they started Unity Church. Then, of course, somebody I studied with for many years, Ernest Holmes, and Science of Mind. And then we had, of course, Mary Baker Eddy and Neville Goddard.
Yes.
Are you familiar with him at all?
Neville Goddard, I have his collected works in my library, and I have a few Kindle chapters of some of his shorter works. I'm familiar with most of them. I don't have all of their work, but I have the examples of their work either in other books or in volumes of their own. And because just like the Greek and Greco-Roman material played a very important part in shaping my thoughts and making me who I am, I had to admit that my father's contribution was New Thought. So I sought to study it as diligently as I did the ancient material. So it's still very much part of who I am. I'll share with you a way I use the technique. And it's not like you have to do it or it won't work. It's just it's an easy way to do it. I usually get a notebook and decide what I'd like to do. And I don't have to know how to do it. I did this with my television show. I wanted a television show. And everybody told me, oh, you're not an actor, although I'd had acted. And they told me, you're not a journalist, although I had written, news. They told me that I never went to journalism school, which was true. So everyone told me I couldn't do it. But I decided I would do it. And I got a notebook, and I just wrote my ideas down every day. I did something. I researched. And this was before the Internet was so popular or I had access to the Internet. So I did my research the old-fashioned way by going to the library or buying books and so forth. And I fill up the notebook. If I had a show, what would I call it? What would I do in my show if I had one? Who would I invite as a guest? Do I want a co-interviewer or a co-star or something? And I just wrote the ideas down. I didn't judge them. I just wrote them down and explored them. And what happened was I had written a piece on UFOs and people who are incarnate extraterrestrials, a topic I still talk about, and nobody responded, which was unusual. Usually I get some response from the things I write. Mm-hmm. So then one day out of the blue, I got a telephone call from someone named May Eisenberg, and she had a show, and she wanted me on as a guest. So I said, sure, because the only other times I've been on TV were when they stopped people and asked them things in the street once or twice because I lived in New York and I congregated or worked in downtown areas. So I got on a couple of those. So I said, sure. And I went down to the show, and she was very upset. And her co-hosts had been scarfed up by Jenny Jones. Remember Jenny Jones, the talk show?
I certainly do, yes.
Okay, so it was Dr. Jean Cirillo, and she was scarfed up by Jenny Jones, so May was upset because she had no co-host. So she asked me, and she just met me. She asked me, can you co-host the show? So she didn't ask me if I'd ever done it, because then I would have said, no, I've never done it. But she asked me, could I do it? And I had confidence that I could do it. So I said, yeah, I could do that. So there was problem solved. I was a guest on the show. And then from then on, I was her co-host for a while. Then as I got to know people, I started appearing on other shows because I could talk about a lot of things off the top of my head. So before you know it, I was a presence on the station. Now, it took me a year and a half of writing in a notebook before I got invited on May's show. And then a year and a half or so after that, the station had been bought a station in Yonkers. I don't remember which. But they were getting rid of all duplicate programming. So a lot of the hosts whose shows I'd been on were getting the axe, including May's show. So they called me in, and I was wondering why, because I was only a guest host at that point. You know, I had my own show, but it was on the topics that they were covering before, not topics I wanted to cover necessarily. And they said that they see me on the Uniquely You Now show and on other shows, because I was appearing as a guest or a guest host on other shows. And they said, what would you do if we gave you a show? Now, at that point, I had like 3 years think about what would I do, you know, and writing them in notebooks. So I just pitched what my best favorite idea was from all the stuff I wrote in notebooks, and I wound up with my own show. So I had to learn all sorts of new things as the show's not only main host, but also its producer, which was another journey that took a year or two before I wound up on Manhattan Cable. And then from there, it was on satellite and, on digital. And then when the internet was among us on the internet. So it was a journey, but it started with a thought. I want a television show, and a refusal to give up on that thought, no matter how improbable it seemed that I would have my own TV show. So it took like 3 years, but I had my own TV show. And that happened a lot faster than if I had followed the traditional route, if I'd gone to journalism school or gone to acting classes or whatever. So all you need is a desire, and then you have to decide you won't give it up. You might modify it as you learn things on your journey, but if you don't give up, you don't have to fail. And now anybody with a microphone and that they can get from a Walmart or Target and a internet connection can make their own show. So it's not even an obstacle anymore. So if you want to do your own show, you can do it.
You know, that's a great story. And you know, again, we don't know how much time it will take to manifest our vision. But
right.
As long as the discipline, if the vision is there every day. It may not always be at the forefront of your consciousness, but it's, even subconsciously, you're not letting go of it. You're holding on to it. That energy remains. I mean, look, thoughts are energy, words are energy, and I think this is very important, and I'm excited when you talk about the fact that you kept your energy, and I believe that the written word is energy. Everything is energy. And I think we are all remiss. Much to we're losing out, we're missing out, we're not taking advantage of this concept, and I think that this is something that should be taught. This is another aspect of, and if this is someone label it spirituality, I don't have an argument with that. For me personally, I don't leave out the spiritual images. That means so much to me. It means so much to my life. I believe the Ascended Master, and I know there are many of them that are looked at and worshipped, and I respect everyone's path. For me, Jesus Christ was one of the key examples. If you read the Gospels, I don't see how anyone can deny that Jesus taught that thoughts move matter. I mean, the quotations and the teachings are endless. In terms of, thoughts. So for me, I don't leave. The main thing is that we all have this field. I have an objective mind as well as a subjective mind. And all things are possible if we apply the focus and discipline that we need to get to achieve our goals. And you know something? I think it goes beyond. Like I said, there's a lot of books written on this subject, but they're very casual. And they really don't go into the depth of the various techniques of what we could do, as you just did. to really bring these manifestations to fruition. They talk about it more as if it's a magic lamp. It takes a little discipline and it takes work, just like we work out in the gym. But we can achieve our goals. We can achieve our vision. And you just described a classic example of that. How suddenly this goal, this picture that you had in your mind, it came to fruition. It took a while, but it happened.
And that's the important thing, that it takes a while, and sometimes you need to apply to it, and sometimes it happens almost magically. I'll give a magic example. On my bucket list, I don't have one of those anymore, but I used to have one. I had to fly an airplane. It's one of the things I wanted to do. And I visited a friend in California, and whenever I'd go out that way, I would cook Greek food for her and her friends, and then they would do something, you know, for me. So one of her friends was an airplane pilot instructor. So he asked me, how would I like to fly a plane over San Diego? So initially I was going to say no, but then I thought, it's on my bucket list. So where else am I going to get the chance to fly a plane? So I did. I flew a plane for an hour and a half, and it was a magical experience. It was wonderful, and I didn't have to work hard. I just had to say yes and then show up. But it was wonderful. I haven't flown a plane since then, nor have I had the desire to fly a plane since then, but I did get to fly a plane. So I got to cross off something from my bucket list. So that just came to me. But if I hadn't put it on a bucket list, I might have said no and not followed up. But because I listed it as something I wanted to do while I was still here, I said yes to the opportunity. And if you look back, all of us have had more opportunities than we can possibly count, but we say no to them because we feel we're not ready or we're not good enough or it's not the right time or, you know, whatever we happen to think at the moment. But the opportunity was there. And if you're aware that you want to do something, you're more likely to say yes than if not.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's it. How long did you have this desire, this dream of actually flying the plane?
It was a couple of years. And again, that wasn't something immediate. So I didn't like really, really want that. Like I wanted to be on television. So I didn't, I read up a little bit about flying planes and, you know, I watched some videos and, you know, things like that. But I didn't really make it a priority. But it still popped up anyway, and I was safe because I had a pilot instructor in the plane with me, so I wasn't flying a plane by myself, but I got a chance to do it. It was great. It was easier than driving a car.
Really?
Yeah, because all you...
I'm just curious, what kind of plane was this?
It was a Cessna. It was a small plane.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something to be said for, again, and, you know, I think the problem, too, is, especially when it comes to the law of attraction, manifestation, and, you know, you can interchange this with various religious beliefs, or religious practices, if you will. I think, you know, we're always putting labels on things. We're always putting labels on things. If I bring up the teachings of Jesus Christ, as an example, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, and how there is a definite parallel between what we're being told in metaphysics in terms of the law of attraction and what Jesus taught, some people might be put off by that. And, well, that's Christianity. You know, I'm not involved in Christianity. I'm a Buddhist, I'm whatever the case might be. But I think that's one of the problems with this. That's what holds people back, is that instead of opening the fields of exploration, which is something that's going to benefit all of us, if there appears a label on something, or, you know, study what these great teachers and sages have had to share with us, notwithstanding what they taught in terms of an overview, if you will. Study what they're taught. What did they teach? What were their practices? Confined to Christianity, if you will. I think Christ consciousness is all-encompassing. Because, in the Greek, as you know, all it means is the Anointed One. Well, you know what? If we're connected to a greater source, a creative mind, and we must be, because if we can create, certainly that is responsible for all of this. Far be it for me to indicate what that mind is, how it operates, but we're connected to some kind of creative source. It's as diverse as it appears, you know, in the life that we live. But I think one of the problems is this, that we should open up our minds to what the great sages and spiritual figures had to teach us. For me, it was Jesus. I believe he was exactly who he claimed to be. I continue to study the Shroud of Turin, which has yet to be disproved. We know that the carbon 14 dating was not accurate. We still can't define that you do not have to necessarily be a Christian to practice it, but it emphasizes the power in words and thoughts, and that we are connected to a greater creative source, if you will. It has to be so. It has to be so. There can be no other explanation as to who we are and why we're here.
I happen to like the theosophical and neo-theosophical spiritualities that existed in antiquity, and then Blavatsky and other people brought it back, because in these spiritualities there are heavens galore, and there are holy figures galore, and they all get along with each other and work together to help humanity evolve as it moves through different creations or different spheres or different planets or different planes, whatever you want to call them, different levels of existence. So Hercules, for instance, in the neo-theosophical material is an Elohim. He's one of the creators. And Jesus is a world teacher. And so they work together to, again, to help humanity in its spiritual evolution and in its learning while here on Earth. So I happen to like that, where there's no war in heaven and there's no lakes of fire and things like that, where whatever road you follow, if it's a positive one, it'll lead you to a good place. And for me, the theosophical and the neo-theosophical schemas, as they were, allow me to get along with as many people as want to get along with me. Some people, again, will not accept that, and other people will accept it. Other people will just okay it. It doesn't really matter. I don't see someone's stories that they have immersed themselves into as separating me from them.
Well, again, you know, the tragedy is with the organized religions that we let doctrinal religion sometimes interfere with our universal capacity to move our lives forward in ways that perhaps at some points in our lives we've never dreamed of. Being that in my personal life right now, we're so influenced by doctrinal laws, rules, and regulations. And frankly, I respect it all. I respect everyone's beliefs. But if we could look beyond that and see that there's a wide-ranging creative force that we can use. Ernest Holmes used to say it nicely. He used to say there is a power out there, and we can use it. There is a force out there, and we can use it. And he didn't mean that in a disrespectful way. What he meant, in some ways, in a pantheistic way, that it imbues everything. It's all around us, but it's alive. It vibrates. It vibrates. Everything is in vibration and in motion. And we know now that our thoughts can affect that vibrational field. I like one, I've been studying from this volume also. You may have be familiar with it. It's called Para X Powers. And it was published, as a matter of fact, by Timothy Beckley. And there are many teachers that contribute to this. Are you familiar with that at all?
Does that have a bald man on the cover, or like a figure with a bald? Yes, I have that somewhere.
Number one is getting clear. You must know what it is you want, or else you won't get it. If you don't know what it is you want, the universe won't know either, which is essentially true. Number step two, vibrate to the level of energy corresponding to what you want. If you want something and you think on it and feel it and act on it, You must keep that level of energy going until you achieve the results you are after. Now, that reminds me of what you have just shared with us in terms of getting your own program. You never let go of that vision. And number three, attract what you want like a magnet. If you focus on what you want but don't allow it to come into your life, it won't. You have to be willing to accept it and acknowledge it. Then when you act, that's when it will occur. And I like that. I like that because it makes a lot of sense, even from the scientific realm. You know, there's something called the law of similars. And I know you're familiar with that as well.
Yes.
The ancient sailors, when they were suffering from liver disease or the kidneys weren't operating as they should, they were becoming very sick. Also, is a law of similars. We can't, homeopathy, the same thing. So we can't deny that these laws exist, and there's a parallel between that and the way the energy of our minds and our thoughts and the written word can work. So I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting field. I think a lot of this was preliminary in terms of being introduced in the book The Secret, which, of course, took the entire population by storm for a while. But we know that these concepts have been around for many, many, many years. And there's any number of techniques that we can utilize to act upon them. I liked what Neville Goddard said. I had a quote from him where he says, sensation precedes manifestation and is the foundation upon which all manifestation rests. Be careful of your moods and feelings, for there is an unbroken connection between your feelings and the visible world. I really like that. I really like that, an unbroken connection. In other words, there's no question that the way we feel, and of course our emotions sometimes could be our biggest enemy at certain times in our lives. You know, it can definitely interfere with our discipline.
This show that we're on right now, which is working with energy, this is the second episode. The first episode was with Jean-Louis de Biasi. He is a theurgist, a Rosicrucian, and a Mason. So he just wrote this book on the aura, and I'm also working with that book as well as the course we'll be working on. And that's all I could work on for now. That's enough to keep me busy. But the purpose of the show will be to address some of what you said. It'll be giving people practical techniques for doing things and letting them hear from different perspectives on doing it. So, you are a Christian at your core. You're very open-minded, but you come from a Christian place. Other people come from other places, but the techniques are the same. So even though everyone's witness or testimony is going to come from a different religious or spiritual perspective, the techniques are the same. So that's what I'm hoping will come out through this show. One of my tasks that I've assumed since early life is to end the curse of Babel. And that goes back to the Tower of Babel story, where everyone was working together to create a tower that would bridge earth and heaven. And then again, depending on which account of that, because it's a universal Near Eastern myth, either the gods or the god didn't want that to happen. So he cursed everyone with a curse of tongues so that they were speaking in different words and using different concepts, and they could no longer understand each other, so that they can no longer work together. So I found through my life that what gets in our way, as you had said, is ideologies. And
absolutely,
outgrow how we're conditioned to think about something and leave our minds open to the fact that somebody else might be talking about the same thing, but they're using a different language and they're using a different way to explain it. I believe we can learn more from each other and work better together. So I'm hoping that this program, as it progresses, does that, because so far we have the Christian perspective, which you've brought to it. And then we have the more theurgic and Masonic and Rosicrucian, and those don't even really connect, all that well. They're very different perspectives into these workings with energy. And I believe that, as you have said, everyone can benefit from working with energy, and everyone can benefit from working with positive thoughts and positive feelings and positive images inside their mind to create a better world. I found that if you just listen, you can pick up things that you couldn't pick up if you're convinced that you're right. So sometimes the explanation will come out.
Right, exactly right. And everything you've just said, of course, is true. And the bottom line is the field remains. No matter what practice you adhere to, no matter what draws your attention in terms of the spiritual aspect of what we're talking about, the field of all possibilities, which is, again, the atomic structure. Everything is made of atoms. Everything we know,
right.
Atoms that we know can be impacted by our feelings, which is really incredible. When quantum physics was discovered, I think it's about 50 years, so I might be off a little bit. It changed the way we see the world. That everything is in motion, and our world can be relative to what we're experiencing, what we're thinking, what our goals are. It doesn't mean that we're abandoning or we're rejecting, if you will, a higher power. For me personally, just the way we create with our thoughts, well, there has to be something out there that's creating, even now, been able to define or understand. Well, there's so much about the universe we don't know. The trillions of stars that are out there, and planets and what have you, galaxies. But we know that we're connected to something. So as you said, it does to unite the forces, the mind power of that, no matter what people are involved in, and accept the fact that there's a creative field that we can utilize, create a better world, both personally and for others that are involved, that we're involved with, and beyond that. So I think if we can only get to a place where we can realize that, and it might say to take another 50 years to do so, heaven knows what we can achieve. Heaven knows what we can achieve through the discipline of the mind, discipline of thought, and discipline of action. And most of all, just as important, negative environment. And my parents were good people, but there was some very, in Christianity, they call it generational curses. They don't mean, when they say curse, they don't mean that literally. What they mean is that some of the prejudices and negative practices that we grew up with in our traditions, unfortunately, are passed on to us. I know it's true. It was true of my brother and I. My brother used to say, and again, this is there's no disrespect to my family, but he would say, my nickname was Monty when I went to school. He said, it's a miracle that we turned out the way we did in terms of exploring UFOs, exploring psychic phenomena. My father was always interested in that. But there was a lot of negative environment in the household we grew up in. So, again, this is just, yet my mom was very spiritual. She was very Christian, very Catholic. My father, he was a good man, but he didn't know what to think. He didn't know. He wasn't sure of anything. He believed in alien visitation. So, but the point is that a lot of the negativity we may have picked up in our childhood.
That's very true. And unfortunately, we're winding down this conversation. Tomorrow, we're doing a 25-year tribute to Brian Walker and Brian's Drive-In Theater. It's been around for 25 years. And since you're one of the hosts of Sword and Sandal Cinema, you're invited to basically let Brian know what his work has done in your life, and to either ask him questions or compliment him on his accomplishment. So I'll be sending you the Zoom invitation for that. Everyone will have like 5 or 10 minutes to talk. So I'm working on that tonight. I'll be sending it out tomorrow to all the hosts or calling them up or whatever way I have of getting in contact with them.
All right, can I use this phone number?
No, this is Blog Talk Radio. It's another phone number. I will PM it to you. I don't think I have your email, but I will personal message it on Facebook, so you'll be able to access it by clicking on the invitation on a computer, or if it's going to be on a phone, calling in. It'll have all the instructions there. If anything's unclear, just call me and I'll explain it to you.
Okay, I will do that. Yes, I would love to participate. I'm looking forward to that. Many of the films that he shares with us, I grew up with and were truly an inspiration to me.
And he created that, and we created the radio show and the Facebook group. The Facebook groups all together for Sword and Sandal Cinema have over 30,000 people in them. So that was created with all of us together, and now we're creating the specials together. So creations and imagination form a reality, and we've all worked on that particular reality that sprang from the reality that he created a quarter of a century ago.
Well, it's an exciting journey.
And how can people contact you?
They desire, whether it be healing, seeking jobs. I recently prayed for someone seeking a job. They can write to me at Michael Darcy, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And I will write them back. I will pray over their requests, their needs, because as we just talked about, everything is vibration and intention, and I will write them back.
And I created a group on Facebook called Working with Energy, under the umbrella of the Age of Heroes quest for optimal wellness. So I believe I invited you to that. We will chronicle our journey, and people can follow the Blog Talk Radio and the Zoom and any other vehicle we interact with, and they can become part of the adventure as well, to encourage them to create a better life for themselves.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that. There's a whole field of possibilities out there, a lot of which some of us have not been exposed to in our childhood. As we were growing up, we realize that now there is a field of all possibilities out there. And it's, as you said in your interview some weeks ago, it's never too late. It's never too late. Never too late. So that's what's exciting about our journey.
And I still have notebooks that I'm filling about things that are remarkable, find remarkable, and but I still have some time left, I believe, and some of those things will come to pass. So I'm looking forward to this adventure, Michael. Thank you very much for everything, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'll be here.
Okay, and thanks to our wonderful guests, whether you called in, whether you clicked on a link, or whether you check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us. We share joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everyone, and thanks again, Michael.
Thank you.